Shop, 100% carbon offset power you can be proud of.
Charlotte Crosby, welcome to Fifi, Feb and Byron.
Woo-hoo. Hello, guys. How are you doing?
We're great, good. Charlotte. It's your old mate, Fifi. Last time we were together, we were in the back of the Uber, remember?
Yes.
We spent a few hours in there. It was good fun. We should have gone out. We should have made a night of it.
Oh, it was.
Now, Charlotte.
We just didn't take the opportunity.
We didn't. Now, you, a big round of applause. You nailed that, Charlotte. You were such an incredible presence in that in the jungle from the day you went in. I've got to say, I texted all my mates and said, the second I saw you, Charlotte's got this in the bag. How are you feeling? How have the last few weeks been, and what are the emotions at the moment?
Oh, God, honest. If I could speak to my day one self before I went in that show, I would sit myself down and I'd say, listen, give yourself a slap across the face. You are not ready for how hard this is going to be. I have never in my whole entire life been through an experience that testing. But the thing is, I don't think it came across because I was there was a lot of times I was going in the tuk-tuk and going, I don't think I'd do this anymore, guys. Like, I'm starving. I'm tired. Like, I haven't washed my hair in days. Like, I haven't even washed my vagina. Like, I'm going to shower. Honestly. And they were turning around and saying, sorry, you know, you're having so much fun. I went, well, what is the problem with the TV show? I'm dying inside.
Now, Shah, when you spoke about the tok-toky room, when you went up there, is it still the English guys that speak to you?
Oh, well, you have a couple of different people. So there's an English guy. Is that Ollie?
Yeah, Ollie, yeah. Does that make you feel a little bit at home when you spoke to him?
Well, there was also a woman, an English woman, and that made us feel really at home too.
No wonder you spent so much time in there.
Shah Fev, who you're just meeting now, he was in there. He won it. He was king of the jungle a few years ago. That's why he knows all this inside guff.
Really? What does it feel like to be king of the jungle?
Oh, well, it's tough. It's tough. I never got to get voted out, so you've obviously experienced something that I didn't experience. But you're only in there for, what are you in there for, 3 weeks? We're in there for 50 days. So.
No, well, it's been got on four weeks.
Oh, is that all? Yeah, we're in there for 6.5. So it was a bit different, Shah, but...
You were there for 6.5. I couldn't have done that, but someone told us that when we were in there. When we were in there, someone went, you know, the first series was 6 weeks. I went, nah.
Your mate Fifi did say that you'd win the show, and I tipped it after the first episode. Being in that camp, I knew that you would make everyone happy. You were the firecracker. You were the entertainment. But do you think your relationship with Ryan cost you winning? Because as soon as you got with Ryan, it's become about you and Ryan and not about you.
Well, do you know what, right? I read a couple of comments like this when I got out on social media. And I think in life, everyone has their own path. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, what happened in that show was meant to happen. Me going on that show this year was meant to happen as well. And I think my journey is the way it is because it was meant to happen that way. And I'm fully happy with my journey and I completely embrace it. And you've just got to go where the path takes you. So, oh my God, I've just spotted the biggest... Lorraine, what is that? The humongous monster's fire on the floor. Oh, what was you living in the red one? That one didn't get rid of it.
Hang on, has Ryan crept into the room?
Sorry.
Hey, Shah, are you staying at the Manor House?
Yes, I am. You know, Trevor.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spot. Now they've got beautiful rooms in there. Has Ryan ventured into the room yet, or what? It's been 9 hours since you got voted out.
So no. This is obviously a popular topic with everyone. there's going to be the alone time that me and Ryan would be having. I think may not be tonight. It may not be tomorrow night. My mum's here, so...
Oh!
Time with the mother.
Bloody mum.
Mother. But I think...
Send her to the bar for some cocktails.
Oh, no. You know, I came out with a vagina. I've got to pay her some respect. So I think maybe the weekend.
Now, Shah, having been a big fan of yours through all your Geordie Shore days, I know that your mum has a big impact on you and the choice of... men you choose, one she was very vocal about back in the Geordie Shore house. What does your mum think about Ryan?
She loves him. Like, And she said, my dad's given the approval. Like, everyone is speaking very highly of Ryan. And she's coming out tomorrow. She's going to meet him. I mean, it's getting very serious.
That's serious.
Before the date's been done as well.
Ooh.
And now, could we see you? Are you going to come back to Australia or are you heading back, straight back to the UK?
I've got to go back to England. I've got to sort my extensions out. You must have seen them. I'm making my hair there.
You poor thing. We really enjoyed it. You're an absolute treat, and you should be so proud of yourself. Head off, relax, go and eat some nice food, and let us know what happens with Ryan.
I will do. You'll be the first to know.
Yeah, make sure you pop in when you're in Australia. I would love to see you.
Oh, I'd love that. Love you. Bye.
I'm asleep tonight, 7:30 on 10. Charlotte, thanks for being on. Fifi, Seven, Byron.
Imagine me and Charlotte getting hammered.
Amazing. No, it would be amazing.
101.9
The Fox.
The Fox.
The coronavirus continues. And when I say continues, news keeps coming to hand. We're aware that the Prime Minister is now revealing a plan to evacuate Aussies from China and maybe quarantine them on Christmas Island. We already have 7 cases of it here in Australia. There's a concern that's going to grow. Now, what is great is that people are being diligent, and anyone who's flown in from China, particularly the areas in question, they are quarantining themselves. They're staying in homes. I know that, and going back to school, this is the interesting one, because one of my girlfriends, her son and daughter went back to school yesterday. And she messaged me last night to say the school was like a ghost town.
Yeah,
half the kids didn't turn up. Now, Fev, our girls all go back to school today.
Today, yep.
Now, both our schools, we've received emails. So any students that have been in China are asked to stay away. And this is from the government. They've recommended that if you've been in these areas to stay away for 14 days, even if you have no symptoms. Yeah. But they've now updated that. And the official advice now to school students who have returned to Australia is that if they are healthy, it's reasonable for them to attend school. So that's sort of an update.
We had a big discussion yesterday, Boxy, in the Favola household with our girls, because they were a bit worried. And obviously it's on the news and they can see it. And we decided we're not going to send the kids to school, because we've got a large number of international students that are at the school, and most of them have just arrived back from China. So we just thought it's not worth the risk, because it just really isn't. Like, a couple of weeks, have a week off, see how it goes, because I think they're not telling us everything.
See, now you've got me worried, because I've got Trixie going to school today.
Yeah.
And it's her first day back, day of year one, grade one. And Annette, because you're not, now I'm wondering, should I be sending her out into the world, into school, and who knows who's been in? And because the other thing they're saying is if your children have been around family members or friends that have been in the area, and the problem is you're leaving it up to the diligence of other parents, and they're not you.
That's so exactly
this is
right.
It's a real predicament, and you've got me genuinely stressing out now, and I don't know what to do.
The problem with our school is that some of the international students that haven't been that have been overseas to China and Asian countries, that they've been told to stay home, and they'll stay home. But it's the boarding school kids that, you know, they've got no parents here, so they have to go to school. Like, they've got nowhere else, and the school's obliged to take them in. So they're going to be at the school, and they're obviously going to be, in a place where there's no other kids. But it's just not worth the risk. There might be nothing wrong with them, but you just don't know, because the symptoms take up to, 10 days or 2 weeks to actually feel the symptoms?
14 days they can take to show.
Yeah, so we're just not going to risk it.
Well, look, 131060, there may be other parents that are like us that aren't sure. I mean, you've made your decision, Fev. I'm not sure I was. I think I'm going to send her to school, but now I'm second-guessing that. And because the information changes every day, you don't know that in a day there'll be a high alert. And it's like, gosh, I've already sent her to school.
Yeah, but, that's why we're going to sit out just this week.
If there's any parents that have sent their kids to school, are there many kids there? Are you worried? Are you not sending your kids? We'd just love to hear what other parents are thinking. 131060.
101.9 The Fox.
This is Fifi, Fev and Byron. Byron's not here now. I joked at the beginning of the show, I'm like, it's the first case of the coronavirus on the Fifi, Fev and Byron team. It's not, though it's getting a little bit serious, isn't it, guys?
We don't know. It is. Everybody's talking about it. Everyone's worried about it, particularly parents. School's back. Fev and I, our girls all go back today. And Fev, you've made the call. You're not sending the girls to school. You're going to keep them home for a couple of days.
Yeah.
You've got me wondering because I had planned to send tricks, and now, the schools are all on alert, and people have been advised that if you have returned from the province in China in question, maybe delay your return a couple of weeks. But then another advice went out overnight saying that if your child has returned from China but is healthy, feel free to send them to school, which has sort of got other parents concerned. Now, we've got a caller on the line who is on the voice disguiser and wants to be anonymous, but they have an update for us about what's been going on in Melbourne overnight in a particular hospital. Are you there, anonymous caller?
Yes, I am.
What can you tell us about what happened overnight?
So another three cases has evolved throughout the night.
Gee.
Which is very scary.
Is it a family or just three separate people?
It's sadly a family.
A family.
Oh, no. Okay, do you know what part of Melbourne? Can you point us in a direction, anonymous, where those cases?
No, sorry.
No, that's fine.
So did they come in, how long ago did they arrive back in the country, or did they get it been in the
10 days ago.
10 days ago. Well, there you go.
So it's taken a while to come out. Whoa, okay, that's, a little concerning. And well, obviously it's a bit of a concern what will happen over the next, 2 weeks, because if that's taken 10 days for this family to realise they've got
major hospital
the coronavirus. Boxing. I know. Thank you for that, Anonymous. Marie in Moorabbin. Hi, Marie.
Hi.
Marie, are you in a situation where you're sending children to school this week?
I am hosting an international student at the moment who arrived here on Sunday. I don't have any issue with him being here, nor do I have any issue with him going to school. We've been kept very up to date with information from the school that he's at. And just to put it out there, there are many people out there that have come from China that have had to get off a plane, walk through an airport, hop in a taxi. So we are all at risk if we're looking at it as a big picture. So
Marie,
I think... I
was just going to say, you're right, Marie. I mean, you start to... It's not even about people who've come from China or the province in China. If you've been in an airport, I'm wondering if you should be in lockdown.
Exactly. So I think this has been taken a little bit out of context. I realise if that's the case, we're very much at risk by having this student here, but I don't feel that that's the case. We have been very well kept informed on what the symptoms are to look out for. He has not travelled from that province, so he's come from Beijing, so that's something that we feel a little bit reassured about. But as I said, he's had to travel from the airport to my house. So along the way, he might have touched something in an airport. He might have done something. He might have shook hands with someone. So I think we need to all just take a little bit of a step back, take a bit of a deep breath, wash your hands, do all the things that you're supposed to do. And although these cases are breaking out in Australia at the moment,
the world.
Pardon?
It's the world.
I know it's the world, but we're concentrating
everyone's taken out of context, but this is spreading around the world. This
absolutely
is an epidemic.
But where do you stop? How do you stop this? By keeping people in quarantine in their homes, for example. If I was to keep a student in my home in quarantine for 14 days, meanwhile, we're going out to work. So it just doesn't end. So I'm not sure.
I think that would, I mean, with something this serious, you would argue maybe, 14 days of quarantine for everybody.
I'd rather have 14 days at home than something bad happen.
And another point, one of my friends whose children went back to school yesterday, they are having hand sanitizers all around the school, but now chemists are running out of hand sanitizers. So masks and hand sanitizer has raced off the shelves, and there's going to be little access to them. That's another point just to be aware of. Thank you for that, Marie.
Boxy, now we have before we get to Lisa Marie, there's some sort of news floating around that the government have ordered 14 million masks to Australia. Like, they wouldn't order 14 million masks for no reason.
Well, you're right. That does sound like the government are concerned. But also remember, all the masks were sold because of the bushfires.
They were
so already
too.
We had no masks because of the smoke, the pollution, and now we're really running out of masks. But Lisa Marie in Hillside. Hi, Lisa Marie.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good. Are you a parent sending children to school?
Yeah, my daughter actually got an email from the institution she goes to, and they were meant to start today, and they were warned not to come in until further notice.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Lisa Marie, now that's worried me.
Good step, and,
you know, and that's and the institution is actually located in two different locations, but the location that's been told to step back is in actually Broadmeadows. And right. Basically, I work out near the airport, so that's another worry. Mm. So, you know, you're just not safe anywhere at the moment. But then on the radio the other morning, I heard one of the news, you guys put on the news, that one guy goes, oh, you know, you can die from an influenza than this flu, but yet we're also concerned. So I don't get what's going on, to be honest. I mean, I just feel like I'm watching one of those monkey movies that they've come with a disease from overseas and we're just all going to die one morning.
Lisa Marie, you've nailed that. Absolutely. This is the trouble in this day and age. We can only go by what information is imparted to us. And then when, so it seems like everybody's on alert and concerned, and so that makes us concerned. And then I agree. Then you get other people saying it's just the flu. Well, hang on. What are we being told? What is all I know is all we can do is be vigilant and look after our own. And by looking after your own, you're actually looking after everyone else.
Exactly.
So be mindful if you're not sure, if you have returned from any of these countries, if you have been in an airport, maybe just best to be cautious.
So you're going to send Trix to school or?
Gosh, I've got to wake her up. What am I going to do? I don't know. I'll think about it. I'll let you know.
Let's move on from this happy chat to deathbed confessions next.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. What have we done?
101.9. The Fox. The Fox.
Okay, now yesterday we were talking about the guy in Queensland. His name's Simon. He's 52, and he believes he is the love child of Camilla Parker Bowles and Prince Charles. This was back when they were 18 or 19 and first dated. So he's come out and he's in fact gone to the High Court. He's so convinced that he is their love child. And this is all because now he was adopted and his grandmother, the adoptive grandmother worked for the Queen. So she was, she and her husband were in the royal household.
Yeah.
And then they adopted this child. Mm. Now, on her deathbed, the grandmother said this to the little boy.
Well,
the
my grandmother, when she was very sick, and I went to visit her for the last time in 98, there was a paper on the bed and the picture of Charles and Camilla in the paper. And I asked her then, I said, is it these two? And she said, yes.
Da, da, da.
It's amazing that there was a paper with the prints on there, and was it these two? Like,
well, it makes you wonder what
would you think
state
that?
Was his grandmother in? That's the only thing. There's a few queries around that because she might have not been able to see properly. She might have been heavily medicated. May not have. She could have been tripping. Who knows? She may not have known what she was.
Oh, she had one last party in before she goes.
Who knows? So could she be heavily medicated on your deathbed? You might not know what you're saying. But anyway, he's off to the High Court and he believes this is the case. And it got us thinking, Feb, deathbed confessions.
God.
Because really, that is where you can just say it, whatever it's been, the secrets you've been holding.
There's no consequences. You'd have to deal with it because you'd be gone.
And also, people carry skeletons in closets and this weight on their shoulders their whole lives. And often, you know, back in the old days, it was the priest or the pastor would come in and they'd do their last rites if you're Catholic, and you'd do your confessions there. 131060, we would love to hear anybody who's got stories about deathbed confessions. What came out of somebody when they knew this is it, and I've got nothing to lose.
Because it'll probably make you feel really good. You're laying there on bed, and you know your time's nearly up, and you just go, I've been holding this for 30 years, and I just want to get it off my chest and just drop that absolute family. I was going to say a different word, but I probably shouldn't say that on there. But just a verbal bang, just to go, hey, I'm going to rock this family. I've been holding this for 30 years.
Might even be crime confessions.
This. Yeah.
Could be any kind of confession.
Crime.
So, you never know. 131060, call with any stories about deathbed confessions. And we're also going to speak to, little treat, the Coffin Confessor.
Yes.
This is a private investigator who actually gets paid to gate crash funerals at the request of the dead. People who are dying tell him their secrets, and then he goes to the funeral and goes, blah. I mean, wow.
It's an amazing gig.
We're going to speak to him next.
101.9 The Fox.
Now, we're talking deathbed confessions because a grandmother on her deathbed told her grandson that his parents, he was adopted, but his biological parents were in fact Prince Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles. Now, he's so convinced of this, he's taken it to the High Court. So we'll see how far it goes. But it did get us wondering if there were any other juicy deathbed confession stories around Melbourne. We've got Christina in Tyab. Hi, Christina.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Good.
Good, Christina. Was something said on a deathbed that sent shockwaves through your family?
Yeah, Mum thought she always had a feeling that she was just never felt good in her family. She never felt belonged. So we asked my grandpa just before his deathbed. He said, yep, you're adopted. Gave us nothing after that and died.
Oh. So hang on, gave nothing. So was your mum able to trace her biological parents?
We did it for 3 years. We searched high and low. We had to go overseas because she was born in Serbia, and we found out that my biological grandma lives in Adelaide, funnily enough.
Wow. Did you find her?
Yeah, we found her, and we have contact with her now pretty much every second or third day, and we've seen her 2 or 3 times. She came to my wedding.
Oh, wow. What a great story.
God.
Yeah, it was pretty freaky.
Are you glad that he said that, or would you rather him have kept that to himself because you probably would have found out anyway?
We're kind of glad that he did tell us because for Mum's peace of mind, we never thought of him differently, which he thought we would, but, yeah, kind of glad he told us, and then we just did our own thing.
Well, well done. Good story. Boxy, I'd go the other way, I reckon. I do, because I'm a prankster.
Yes.
I'd have, like, everyone would be around. It could be, you know, 50 years. I'd go, oh, guys, I've buried, you know, $3 million in the backyard. and then I'll have, like, a time capsule with, like, a videotape or something. And then have all the people that'll be digging for the money. They go, oh, Dad's left us money. This is great. And then they put the tape in and go, ha, gotchas.
You would do that. You'd do that.
And they would go, bloody Dad.
I'm
not well. God, what's happened?
I've been looking forward to this, Fev, all morning. We are about to speak to Bill Edgar, who is called the Coffin Confessor. Now, it's Bill's job. He's a private investigator, and he gets paid by people who are obviously about to pass away. They tell him their secrets and things they would like revealed at their funeral. He goes to the funeral, and bang, the confessions come out. Are you there, Bill?
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Good. Oh,
great, Bill. Welcome to the show. I mean, there's so many things we'd love to ask you. Firstly, how did you get into this?
Look, an elderly gentleman that I'd been working for, doing some investigative work for, he was ill, he was dying, and he saw the worst of people on his deathbed, and he said, you know what, Bill? He said, I'd like you to crash my funeral, mate, and let some home truths fly. And my best mate's trying to, you know, get on to my wife, so I need this to let loose.
Because you were a private investigator beforehand?
That's correct, yep.
So talk us through that funeral, Bill. You've gone to the funeral. Play out what happened.
Yeah, basically what happens prior to the funeral, I'm given an envelope. I know what's in the envelope. And I'm also told to basically interrupt the funeral at a certain time.
Oh.
This particular funeral was when his best mate was doing the eulogy.
Oh, wow.
So I impersonate one of the mourners. I sit with family and friends and associates.
What? And this is like a movie. This is like Wedding Crashers.
Well, funny enough, yeah, that's where it's heading. But and then I get up during the eulogy and I interrupt and I say, excuse me, I'm here on behalf of the my client in the box, and he's got a few things that he's left unsaid, and he wants them said. So here we go.
And how does the family react? What happens? How do you get out of there alive?
You know what? There is a lot of, you know, there's a bit of hate and a bit of, you know, get lost and all this type of stuff. But there is a majority of people that want to know what their loved one left unsaid. Wow. And once you get the crowd on your side, you cannot be stopped. They want to know. They want to hear all the gossip and all the tidbits, so to speak.
Now, what, Bill, I know that on 2 occasions you've been asked to dress up as Homer Simpson for a funeral, which is amazing that that's happened twice. And I mean, I almost want you to explain that. But what's the most full-on thing you've had to do at a funeral?
they're more of a themed funeral. I don't do them. I've rejected doing those. I'm there on behalf of the deceased to expose, you know, their truths and whatever else. So the theme thing is not for me. I actually investigate, you know, what they've told me, and then I let loose at the funeral for on behalf of them.
What's the biggest bombshell you've dropped?
Yeah, what's the best one? What's your best?
Look, probably, you know, attending a funeral for a bikie, and you know, quite a lot of bikies there, and exposing that he was gay.
He wanted you to do that.
Pretty daunting. He wanted me to do that. He wanted me to reveal that his gay lover was in the crowd, but you won't know who it is.
Oh, wow.
He wanted some other items placed in the grave with him, which was done. There's a few things that I do and the client's request. So there's nothing that can't be done.
How much work do you get?
Well, look, you know, for the last, 2 years, I've probably only done 16 funerals. But I'm doing a lot of home sweeps, which means I go into people's homes if they can't return after going to hospital, and I clean them out of any pornographic lingerie, sex toys, things like that, because they don't want their family and friends to find them when they're going and cleaning their house. So,
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you know, with that stuff?
I film the destruction of it and I send it back to them.
Okay. That is amazing, Bill.
It's on Clarity.
Wow.
Some loving stuff too. I mean,
how do people find you out of interest, Bill? How do you advertise?
I don't. It's word of mouth. It really is. Oh, now I've got Coffin Confessions. So people are actually loading or uploading their own confessions on coffinconfessions.com. It's amazing. Thousands of people have uploaded their confessions or eulogies, and it's just brilliant.
Well, I mean, that's in line. I didn't know this was happening, but that's thank you for coming on the show, Bill.
Not a problem. It's been great.
Imagine Bill getting up just going, hey!
You could think of a lovelier man to get up at your funeral than Bill. You're charming. Lovely. Thank you, Bill.
101.9 The Fox.
Do you know, Fev, talking to Charlotte then, and I love Charlotte. I always have because I watched Geordie Shore from the very first season.
You love it, don't you?
Oh, really? I loved it. I love Jersey Shore,
too. Did you hear how she got on it? Did you hear
yeah,
her yesterday?
I heard
it was
that
awesome.
Story.
Yeah, really good story. I like her a lot.
So I feel like, and I, you know, I've met her a couple of times. As we said, we hung out in Uber once. I'm not saying I know her that well, but I was reading in her face a lot when I'd see her on the cameras in the camp that maybe she wasn't as into it as Ryan was. And I even felt that when she got off last night, you could just sort of tell when he approached her as she was running up the ramp. It was like, that's right, you. And I don't know whether anyone else can relate to this, but I'm prepared to put myself out there and say, sometimes you can think a relationship's a good idea at the time. And I'm definitely one of those people. When I'm in it, it's almost like I can brainwash myself and I should never trust my instincts because after many breakups, I go, what was I thinking? Mm. Did someone brainwash me? And similarly, years ago, I was in Hawaii and I spent a bit of time there.
Hello.
And I met a zipliner called Suki and Suki and I.
So you were ziplining?
Well, no, he was the zipliner. This is why I kind of can relate to I'm a celeb.
Lots of harnesses in ziplining, isn't there? Harnesses and straps and everything.
Get strapped yourself in, didn't you?
Harnesses and he was one of the zipline instructors. So I went ziplining and he sort of harnessed me in, got me in. And I was like, you know, you're in this place of vulnerability where it's like this big strong man is taking care of me. And then the next minute you think you're in love. And, you know, we...
You clipped your buckle and you went, oh, this is the one.
I think so. Anyway, we went ziplining. Then he asked me out and we went out after ziplining.
You must have been a good zipper.
We had a beach date and he'd take me out. I'm not a Maui girl. I know people love Maui, but he was from Maui and he'd take me to all these places. Anyway, I was there for about a week and a half. And when I left, we were very sort of loved up. And I went back to LA and I was spending time in LA. And he said spontaneously, why don't I just fly over to LA to see you? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Anyway, he came to LA, and it's funny, when you're in a new environment, I just suddenly looked at him. I remember I met him in LA, and I looked at him, and I went, that's right. where are those feelings though that I had? And anyway, he stayed for a day and I dropped him off at the airport. And I remember we're at the airport and he had his bag and it was supposed to be one of those really romantic scenes, you know, where, you know, you hug, you kiss goodbye, can't wait to see you again. He was going to fly out to Australia. He was talking about things he could do when he moved to Australia. Mm. And the whole time in my head, Feb, no, and I don't think I ever want to see you again. There is nothing here.
Because when you're in Hawaii, you've got no one else around you. It's like these like love shows, like Married at First Sight. They're together and they're in their own little world. And then as soon as you break out, hang out with your new friends, hang out with your old friends, go out for dinner. You're back in your comforts of your own suburb and you go, ooh, what the hell was I thinking?
I know.
Because it's comfortable.
It is, and it's like a Stockholm syndrome thing when you're in that space with just that person and you fall in love. But I don't know whether it's happened to anyone else. 13, 10, 60. Were you in a relationship that felt like a good idea at the time, and then
it's
maybe
like
you realise too late?
Like when you're in here, you think, oh, we're such a family. Then I get in my car and I go, oh, thank God, I'm out of there.
101.9, The Fox. Let's talk tennis. When I say tennis, I don't mean the Australian Open. I mean Tennis Sandgren. I can't get enough of tennis. So not only were his parents love tennis, his grandfather was a tennis champion. They live and come from Tennessee. So he's been called Tennis. That's and now amazing. He is a professional tennis player. I mean, I wonder, you know, Fev, if someone's actually asked him, and I haven't heard an interview with him where he's addressed it directly, but how annoying it is, or like, is there part of him that wants to be called, I don't know, Brian, just to like, just to have a break?
Well, he did say, I watched a few interviews and he said that when he says his name's Tennis, people are like, ha, 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 because he says because he's a tennis player. But then he explains the story as you just explained. So
yeah,
it's an amazing, and he said, I literally was born to play tennis. So
absolutely. Yes. And what a letdown though, if he hadn't. Like, that's a fair bit of pressure. But it would be like, you know, if, I mean, I said to you yesterday, if you'd been called Sharon, that would have been perfect.
Yeah, it would have been perfect.
Being a lead, you know, a huge AFL player called Sharon is awesome.
So imagine if his name was Tennis and he played golf or something. I'd be like, mate,
yeah,
wrong sport.
I wonder if you could have if, you know, we could have called one of our children Radio. That work?
No.
FM.
Remember when I went and got the snip last year at Dr. Snips and went in there and got the chop with a few guys from Melbourne?
Yes, you
and
did.
When we walked in, I was a bit nervous and I looked up at the, you know, how they've got the doctor's names on the board as you walk in. And there's Dr. Snip and blah, blah, blah. And it says vasectomy, Dr. Sack. That's his name. David Sack.
He was born to
He was
do
born to...
It's like, Fev, the great one in the media, Australian media, is the wonderful journalist Amy Parks.
Yes, I remember watching this.
Who often, now this, you'll remember it because it went viral at the time, one of the best, as Jennifer Kite threw to Amy. This was how it came across.
Amy Parks joins us live from Amy Park. Amy, what's the latest?
One of the best. Amy Parks from Amy Park.
When she signed off, I don't think she really realised, and she said, back to you, Jennifer. It's Amy Park at Amy Park. And she sort of grinned and she's like, oh, my God, that sounded really funny.
It's so cool, though, if your name does suit your profession or it just – it's or even your looks sometimes. Like your name – if your name matches your job or a part of your life, 13, 10, 60. These are fascinating stories.
Give us a call now with Fifi, Fev and Byron. I'm not going to say what this person does, but we have got a Dr. Butt on the line next. I wonder what they do.
Dr. Butt. 101.9,
The Fox. Now, we were talking about Tennis Sandgren. Yes, that's his name. He is a professional tennis player from the US of A. His name is Tennis for various reasons. One, he's from Tennessee. And two, he comes from a family of tennis players. His parents, his grandfather, all tennis players. But it is really funny when somebody or their name matches their profession. And we've got some cracking calls ready to go. Renato from Moorabbin. Hi, Renato.
Hi, guys. My name's Renato and I make gelato.
that rhymes.
I love
sort it. Sort of there.
Renato makes gelato. That's great.
How good's gelato? That's a real good ice cream.
Isn't it? I'm craving it now, actually.
Whenever I go, you know, the Mr. Whippy vans, I used to always, as a kid, just get gelato. Yeah, everyone.
I didn't know they had gelato.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Whippy.
Mr. Whippy's usually just like the, you know, like the one that McDonald's have, the soft serve.
Yeah, no, they've got everything. It's
Mine used to have everything.
Gelato.
I think you've got a fancy pants one.
You got a fancy one.
Oh, my God.
I used to just get the whipped one.
Mate, I'm talking about the Dandenong markets when you go down and get the donuts and then they've got the Mr. Whippy thing. Always have gelato.
Oh, really? Well, they're Dandenong. Fancy there at Dandenong. Yeah, well. Belinda and Werribee. Hi, Belinda.
Hi, how are you, Fifi?
Yeah, good, Belinda. Now, what does your name match your profession?
No, I'm a family member recently had a procedure at hospital and the doctor was Dr. Butt.
What did you have?
A colonoscopy.
Oh, that doctor must get it every day. You either run with it and you're like a Patch Adams who's just there to have fun every day, or you would get so sick of it, wouldn't you?
Well, it was slightly reassuring that he really knew his profession, that he had a bit of passion for it.
Dr. Butt. You can't That's make great. That up. Dr. Butt.
You can't. Mina in Caulfield South. Hi, Mina.
Hi. How are you?
Yeah, good. Mina, does your job match your name?
Well, my brother, his name is Saul. His middle name is Tana. And he works in the Sultana factory.
That's the best.
Did he, as a kid, just go, "This is me. I'm going to walk in a. I'm going to work in a Sultana factory." He would have had to have.
I don't know. I guess it was just his destiny.
Oh, Sultana.
Last name Tana, first name Sol.
I won't forget that. That's one of the best. Brilliant, Sandra in Eden Park. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. Happy New Year, guys. Welcome back on the radio.
Oh, thanks, Sandra.
You have a wonderful 2020 as well.
Yeah, thank you. I used to work at your brother's opposition, Fev. I used to work at Flick Pest Control.
Oh, yep.
And I worked with a lovely man called Mice.
Oh, wow. His first name's Mice.
First name's Mice. Mice Janczewski. Hi, Mick. How are you?
And he catches rats from Mice for a living.
Yes. Mice Janczewski. Lovely man. So if you're in the northern suburbs, look out for him, but yeah,
maybe get Rent-A-Kill.
He would have gone into a premises and they would have gone, "Oh, look, there's Mice." What? No, just there. He's just standing here. Well, thanks, Sandra. And finally, Kishwa from Oakley. Hi, Kishwa.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Lovely name, Kishwa.
It is a nice name.
Thank you.
Now, does your name match your profession?
No, because there's no professions where you have to do something, Kishwa. So,
well, there's a kissing booth. Kiss.
Oh, dear.
I'm done.
You're great.
No, I had a bit of a foot injury over Christmas, and my podiatrist was called Dr. Walker.
Oh, wow.
Get out. Kishwa, is your podiatrist in Doncaster?
No.
Oh, no, because I think my podiatrist...
There's a couple of Dr. Walkers, is there?
I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, maybe she goes to Doncaster as well.
Oh, there's a him. Oh. I reckon I've got an podiatrist called Dr. Walker. Well done. Thank you, Kishwa.
That's all she had. She walked on right out of here like we're about to. Bang.
Power Shop. 100% carbon offset power you can be proud of. 101 Ah!